Shachat Shabbat Perchot Dalet Mishnah Dalet Mechakin is at the Lohan Lefnei Avehema Be'ezan Avela Lefnei HaKlov. You're allowed to cut up a pumpkin in front of an animal and a carcass in front of a dog on Shabbat. And a pumpkin and a carcass will not be eaten by the animal or the dog unless you first cut it up, but you would be allowed to cut it up in order to feed it to your animal on Shabbat. Now, even though a pumpkin is often eaten by humans, it's not strictly used for animal food. However, if you do decide to feed it to your animal on Shabbat, it would not be muksa. And even though this carcass comes from an animal that died on Shabbat, the carcass would not be muksa, and you can feed it to your dog. And even though at the beginning of Shabbat, the animal was still alive, and therefore you do not plan on feeding the meat to a dog, you plan on shechting the animal after Shabbat and feeding it to humans, however, even so, it would not be regarded as muksa according to the Tanakhama, and you can go ahead and feed the carcass to the dog on Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, and Lois and Avela Mer Shabbat Asura, Lufi She'ena Minamu. Rabbi Yehuda said, if it was not an Avela before Shabbat, it would be forbidden to handle the carcass on Shabbat because it is not prepared, meaning that it is muksa. And since at the onset of Shabbat, you are not planning on feeding this animal to the dog, even though now that it's died, the meat is only fit for a dog, even so, you cannot handle it on Shabbat as it would be muksa. It's permitted on Shabbat to know about that a wife or a daughter made. That the husband and the father has the right to annul a vow that the wife or the daughter made. But he can only annul it on the day that he hears about it. So if he hears about the vow on Shabbat, he can go ahead and annul it on Shabbat, since this is not something that can be pushed off till after Shabbat, as it can only be made for the neder until the end of Shabbat. So too, somebody who made a neder that is Lutzerech Shabbat. He made a vow that has what to do with Shabbat, for example. He made a vow not to eat certain foods. And now he regrets making that neder, and he wants to eat those foods on Shabbat. He can go to a chacham or to three people on Shabbat to get a release from the neder by expressing regret for the neder. And even though this could easily be done after Shabbat, but since he wants to find a release for the vow on Shabbat itself, and he wants to eat these foods on Shabbat, because this is considered necessary for Shabbat, and he can go ahead and get it done on Shabbat. Paikikin etam or, you're allowed to stop up a window on Shabbat. As we had in my book in the 17th parable between Rabbi Lazar and the Rabbanan, whether you're allowed to stop up a window, and this mission is going according to Chachamim, we'll hold that you are allowed to stop up a window on Shabbat. It would not be constituting bona building on Shabbat, which is awesome. And you can measure a piece of cloth and a mikvah on Shabbat. Now, measuring on Shabbat is usually us a mineral abundant. However, if you're measuring a mitzvah for the purpose of a mitzvah, it would be mutter to measure on Shabbat. So you are allowed to measure a piece of cloth to see if it's large enough to be makabel tuma. And a piece of cloth is at least 3 finger widths by 3 finger widths is large enough to be makabel tuma. And so too, you can measure a mikvah on Shabbat to see if the mikvah contains enough water. And the mikvah must contain a minimum of 40 saw. And if the mikvah measures 1 amma by 1 amma, with a height of 3 amos, then the mikvah would contain 40 saw. And since measuring a mikvah is a tzarach mitzvah for the purpose of a mitzvah, it would be mutar on Shabbat. With the story in the times of the father Rabbi Tzadok and in the times of Abba Shaul ben Bunis, so pakukul es amor b'tefiah, they stopped up a window on Shabbat using an earthenware flap. They kashru es amekida b'gemi, and they tied around an earthenware kli with a gemi, a plant that's used for animal food. Leida im yeh begigis pesea tepach im lav, to find out if Ebed had an opening of a tepach or not. Now the story is as follows. There were two houses that were adjacent to each other, with a short path between the two houses, and this path led from the window of one house to the window of the other house. And there was a mace in one of the houses, and a mace is metame ba'al, a mace is metame. Everything is underneath the same roof as the mace. And the tumah of the mace would also escape through the window if the window is not stopped up. And there was an overhang outside the window. The overhang was a gigas, a vat that overhung the window over the path that led between the two houses. So therefore, since there was an overhang outside the window, when the tumah escaped the window, it would also be metame anybody who was underneath this gigas, this overhang, that was over the path between the two houses. So therefore, they wanted to stop up the window in such a way that the tumah would not escape through the window. And the only way to stop the tumah from escaping through the window is to stop it up with something that's not makabel tumah. So they stopped up the window with a kli cheres, with an earthenware kli. And an earthenware kli is only metabol tumah from the inside, not from the outside.
So therefore, they place the earthenware kli in the window, with the inside of the kli facing out, and the outside of the kli facing it. So since the outside of the kli is not makam l'tumah, it will stop the tumah from escaping through the window. But afterwards, they had to open up the window, they had to take out the earthenware kli from the window, because they were afraid that the tumah will escape through the window, and then be matami anybody who is under the gigas, who is under the overhang, that is over the path between the two houses. However, this gigas, this overhang, had a split in the middle. Now, if the split in the middle was at least a tefa, so you can't combine the two sides of the gigas, since there is a tefa split in the middle, and then it would not serve as a conduit for the tumah, since it was split in the middle. And they had no way of knowing whether the split was at least a tefa without measuring it. So they took a gemi, a gemi is a type of plant that is used for animal food, and they wrapped it around a klicher that was a tefa circumference. That way, they know the gemi is exactly a tefa. And then they used this gemi to measure the split in the gigas to see if the split was at least a tefa wide, as if the split was a tefa wide, then the gigas would not serve as a conduit for the tumah, and it would not be mitame, everything that's underneath the gigas, even though the tumah had escaped through the window. From their words we learn, from this story, we learn the following. You can stop up a window on Shabbos, and so too you can measure and tie a knot on Shabbos if it is for the purposes of a mitzvah. As they measure the split in the gigas to see if it was at least a tefa, and since they were measuring for the purpose of a mitzvah to find out if it will act as a conduit for the tumah, so it would be mutter on Shabbos, even though normally measuring on Shabbos is also mitter rabbanan. And so too they tied a knot on Shabbos, and they tied the gemi around the kli cheres on Shabbos. And since they tied it with a temporary knot, which is only also mitter rabbanan, and they were tying it for the purposes of a mitzvah, it was mutter for them to tie the gemi around the kli cheres. And the gemi, since it's used for animal food, when they tie a knot in the gemi, it's only a temporary knot, not a permanent knot. So therefore, that type of knot is only usher mitzvah, and since they were doing it for the purposes of a mitzvah, it was mutter to tie that knot on Shabbos.